Bush and Ritchie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. I apologise for the lowness, the baritone nature of my voice during this show.
I didn't want to say, but...
I was doing a lot of talking over loud music. So I went to see Liam Gallagher and John Squire last night. They were absolutely brilliant at Troxy in London. And it was an amazing night. They were absolutely fantastic. But at the end, and he always does this, Liam, he chucked his maracas into the crowd. Mm-hmm. And, you know, two or three people grabbed them. I think he had like three or four with him. I'd love to be... I've never, ever caught anything that someone's thrown into a crowd. Wouldn't you love to be one of those people that throws... Like, a lot of drummers throw their drumsticks in at the end of a gig, or T-shirt, or grabbed a set list or something like that. Never grabbed anything.
Now, you see, that's ironic, because you're in a better position to grab something than I am, because my height is what stopped my blossoming goalkeeping career, because crosses were a weakness for me. But you...
Sound like Dracula.
With your height, you'd be able to rise above people like a salmon,
yes,
and pick up those maracas.
I think I'd be too meek. Like, you've got to be quite pushy. You know, like when you see people catch a baseball home run or something. You don't just wait for it to come to you. You need to be kind of proactive.
Yeah.
So I feel like I need to be a bit more proactive in my life, and maybe stuff like that will happen to me more.
Wouldn't it be great if we worked in a kind of line of work where you had maracas to chuck out? I mean, at the end of a radio show, we don't sort of finish and throw our headphones out of the window into Golden Square.
Well, I'm sure a few people in this building have thrown their headphones around. We could throw our muffs into the...
Yes, we could.
Actually, we're the only people in the building. What are we talking about? We're literally the only people in here. So, but if you have managed to get your hands on any form of something that's been chucked into a crowd, tell us about it at Absolute Radio.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Now, do you remember I went for a fondue the other night?
I do.
With some friends, and I've not stopped moaning about it since. It was the price of it, that kind of stuff. One thing that I didn't mention at the time, which is what I'd like to talk about in the first hour of Home Time this evening, is that after having said fondue, which is basically a cauldron of hot cheese between two people, I've had a burnt mouth for about 5 or 6 days.
So that's affecting everything that you've eaten since, because you're not getting the true taste sensation.
Well, I'll tell you where it's burnt me, because you've got to eat with these really long forks that look like a Dante's Inferno painting, right? And the bit that I've burnt is, I don't know what it's called. What's that thing that you've got under your tongue? It's like a little flap under your tongue, so you look like a terrapin. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the bit that you have to have snipped if you've got like a tongue tie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That I've got a burn on that.
Where were you putting the cheese?
Well, I was obviously doing it wrong. My friend Mark, who was at the meal as well, he's got a burnt side of his lip. Looks like he's got cold sauce. This is honestly ruining our lives.
Fondue, isn't it?
Never, ever get involved in fondue.
Wow.
Why didn't Zamo talk about fondue? Just say no.
Same era.
Exactly. So, look, what we thought, we'd put this to good use, right? Cards on the table. If you've been injured by food in any way, shape or form, tell us.
Now, by no means am I apportioning any blame whatsoever to the people that I bought this cheese and ham baguette from, but I bought a Greg's cheese and ham baguette. I love them.
They're
absolutely
lovely.
Love them. But about 10 years ago, my dental hygiene was not as good as it is right now.
Dark times.
My teeth were in a bad state, and one big chomp and one back molar absolutely shattered.
It's like a modern Canterbury Tales, isn't it?
It really
poor
is.
Poor dental hygiene.
Emergency
and that.
Dental care because of it. It's not stopped me going back, because it wasn't their fault, it was mine. But my goodness, just you could feel it just go immediately.
Well, I mean, you never forget a food injury, do you?
No, you don't.
Dirk says on Twitter, he got twiglet dust in his eye. Imagine how bad that is.
Wow.
Don't know what he was doing.
How's that happen?
He's not furnished us with an explanation. Damo, your story about Toblerone ain't making it the way, mate. Thank you.
Kids, or indeed anyone, don't try this at home. Dave's a fool. Dave says, I was electrocuted by a sausage. True story. I was a little bit tipsy at a barbecue, thought I'd put the sausage into the garden light fitting. Turns out they are exceedingly good conductors.
Have you ever been drunk to the point where you, out of curiosity, want to put a sausage into a light?
Absolutely not. Like I said, Dave's a fool.
He's a fool. Coffee Monster says, I once accidentally swallowed a cola cube, which then worked its way up my throat and out of my nostril.
Oh.
These are unbelievable. Georgia in Manchester says she got extra spicy Bombay mix in her eye and it stung forever. Forever.
Once is a mistake, twice is foolish. I choked on Milky Way bars twice.
Wow, they're quite soft though, aren't they?
Exactly. This texter say they received the Heimlich manoeuvre and everything.
Swings and roundabouts, this whole injury thing. Chris from Oxford says, I once got chilli in my eye from a kebab on the way home from a club. I lost my mates and I was worse for wear. A girl thought I was crying and came over to talk to me. Ended up giving me a number.
Well, well, well.
Good things can happen, folks. Good things can happen. Right, we've got Mike on the line. Mike, what was your food injury story then?
I went for a Christmas meal with friends, and I was talking to them, and sadly, I inhaled some kale.
That's the most middle-class injury I've ever heard of in my life.
Yeah, no, it was it wasn't pleasant.
What happened then? So you inhale kale, what happens then?
Luckily, I've got my best friend saw what happened, and he quickly gave me is it the Heinrich manoeuvre or the Heimlich?
Heimlich rather than Heinrich, I think.
Heinrich's just a crazy doctor. But one of your friends actually, I mean, there's probably a certain amount of people in this planet right now that have had the Heimlich manoeuvre done to them.
Yeah.
You don't do it for a joke. So you've been Heimlich'd.
I have, yeah, sadly, yeah. Luckily, he was a big Irish lad, and about the fifth attempt it came up, and obviously I'm alive now, aren't I?
So, well, wouldn't you be forever indebted to someone that saved your life like
you
that?
You would do, yeah.
Like Chewbacca and Han Solo, you follow him around, this guy.
Yeah, no, he's a good mate, to be fair.
Well, another warning, kids, kale can kill, so be careful.
Watch out.
It's never been eaten since, mate.
Karen in Evesham says, guys, I got stabbed in the roof of my mouth by a super thick, very sharp Dorito. It made a hole and was a massive, lumpy agony for days.
To celebrate our time broadcasting from our studios here at Golden Square in Soho, London, we're playing Absolute Radio Blankety Blank, ahead of our move to brand new studios.
When he came in for an interview, action hero Vin Diesel asked for the room to be cleared so he could have his makeup done. But when everyone left, he just sat there and had a blank. Find out the answer after the break. It's about food injuries, first hour of the show this evening. If you've ever been injured by any food, do tell us about it. This text says, hi there, Shelley from Beckenham here. Back in the mid-80s, I was in a play in senior school which had the message, say no to drugs.
Good.
As the druggie in the play, about 13 years of age, I thought the best substitute for certain narcotics was to snort sherbet off a table on stage. She says, one quick line of sherbet and I genuinely thought my head was going to explode. It's the most intense nose pain imaginable, adds Shelley.
Well, an important message. Say no to drugs and indeed also to sherbet.
Definitely not snorting sherbet now. That's the end of that.
Sarah, your food injury, what is it?
It was my granddad, grizzly old boy in his 80s, got himself a microwave, didn't really read the instructions, wasn't particularly clued up about it, tried to heat up a Scotch egg. Didn't realise you were supposed to sort of prick holes in it, you know, just to let the steam out. So he bit into it. Scalding hot steam across his top lip. Scabby Hitler tash.
Scabby Hitler tash. I wouldn't even know that you're supposed to put little holes when you're heating up a Scotch egg. Wouldn't even think about that at all.
I wouldn't have known that you could have heated up a Scotch egg. I always have them cold.
That's probably an entirely other conversation, actually, before you even get beyond the old burning thing. So was he all right, your granddad?
Yeah, he was, like, grumpier than normal about it, and he looked a bit ridiculous for a couple of weeks, and I don't think he touched the microwave again.
I was going to ask, what was the comeback for the microwave, if he was sceptical about getting it in the first place?
Yeah, I think someone bought it, like, you know, because they thought he had to, because, like, you know, newfangled. Yeah. I don't think he used it again.
What a story down at the Rotary Club, though. Burnt top lip from a Scotch egg. One of them new microwaves.
Yeah, newfangled technology.
Before the break, we played Absolute Radio Blankety Blank and asked you to fill in this blank. When he came in for an interview, action hero Vin Diesel asked for the room to be cleared so he could have his makeup done. But when everyone left, he just sat there and had a blank.
The answer was a ciggy. He had a ciggy and smoked out the boardroom. We play again tomorrow.
We are cream obsessed for a second day running. Who'd have thought, after we learnt on yesterday's show that Tim Burgess, member of the Absolute Radio family and him off of the Charlatans, likes to have pouring cream put into his Americano.
Can I have Americano, but can you leave a quarter of it empty? The pouring cream.
Now, you weren't brave enough to do the impression yesterday. You've done it today. What's changed?
I'm hungover. but, yeah, we've had a lot of comments about... who'd have thought cream would be such a, a thing. Do you know what I mean? A lot of people chatting to us about cream.
Yesterday, we were having all sorts of things suggested that were made better with cream in or indeed on. But now we have learnt of a second star of rock and roll who likes to include cream.
This is going to blow your socks off, right? So I interviewed Blur's Alex James, the greatest bass player of all time, earlier on today. You're going to hear it on Absolute Radio 90s very, very soon. His big festival, his Food Music Kids Festival, is back August Bank Holiday weekend, which is going to be amazing. But on the way in, when I was doing some, like, you know, show planning, you know.
You were doing that?
I know, I know what's wrong. I'm hungover. I noticed a cream-based angle that I thought I need to ask him about. Listen to this. And I was doing some research on the train about you.
Yeah.
And you were talking about putting cream in scrambled eggs?
Oh, yeah, I can do. Yeah,
wait, was that, is it called on Blur scrambled egg? Is that what you were...
So, yeah, but I think if there's some cream in the fridge, you don't need it. You know, eggs and butter, a bit of seasoning. Maybe some chives. Chives are up now. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
At the night. But I think, yeah, just, I mean, everyone's got their own way of making scrambled eggs, and none of them are wrong, I don't think.
But do you put cream in? What do you put cream in?
I would say just at the end, just at the very end, a little splash of cream. Oh, yeah.
And
just
that kind of swirl. Makes the difference.
I think it's, yes. No, you can't really have too much butter or cream.
What about that? What a phrase? The chives are up.
When you were a younger lad and you were into Blur in your prime, would you ever have imagined that in your early 40s you would be on a national radio station talking to the greatest bass player of all time about the fact that the chives are up and he adds cream to his scrambled egg?
I don't know if I can get any higher than that. I've completed it. I might just retire whilst I'm on top. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you say that. Do you remember yesterday we spoke to Victoria from Sunderland telling us about carnation milk in her tea?
Oh, what, the milk that won us the war?
The milk that won us the war, and saying how it was groundbreaking for tea. We couldn't let it rest. We've been to the shops and we like to be at the forefront of food development here and indeed hot drink development on this show. So we've been to Tesco and we have bought some carnation milk.
Well, can I ask you, because you went and got it earlier on, right? What section is that in?
Well, in the tinned bit, your preserves.
But like with like, is it in there with like tinned fruit and stuff? Is it
near custard? I would say.
That's a bit worrying, that, isn't it?
What's even more worrying though is she said carnation milk, and we're like aware of it, but didn't know really what it was. I saw the shelf. Look, there's two different types.
That's an Ace of Base song, isn't it?
Evaporated milk and condensed milk, and I can't for the life of me remember what she said on the show yesterday. So I've bought both.
All right, so we've got like a sliding doors, choose your own adventure moment here between evaporated and condensed. I'd love to know the sell-by on them. I bet it's like 15 years from now.
2025.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That surprised me a little bit.
It really is.
So what are we going to do then?
Going to boil up the kettle, going to make the teas, and next we'll open them both and work out which one goes in.
Oh, God.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
I'm going to be honest with you, like I said earlier on, I do have a bit of a hangover having seen John Squire and Liam Gallagher last night at the Troxy. Last thing I thought I'd be doing is tasting milk that's come out of a tin in cups of tea at this point in the afternoon stroke evening.
Could be exactly what you need after we found that cream goes into the milk of... cream goes into the coffee of Tim Burgess. And then earlier that Alex James from Blur is putting cream into his scrambled eggs. It's the way forward.
Yeah.
So, after we found out from Victoria on the show yesterday that she uses carnation milk into her teas... I've bought some carnation milk from the supermarket earlier. One condensed, one evaporated. Don't know which one we're meant to use.
That's good. I've managed to get rid of really loud music now, so you can get on with it. But well done for keeping on going.
So
one of us is going to have evaporated and the other one's going to have condensed.
Yeah, so I've just got the can opener on the evaporated right now.
Because during that song you were shaking them and they sounded different.
They're very different, very different.
Just from shaking the tin.
One text here says, use the evaporated milk, boys. Make it like builder's tea, should look orange.
Okay, that's good, that's how I have my tea.
But the next one, Tracy says, you want to try the condensed milk. It's thicker and it will make it less sweet.
Well, the colour of whatever that is you've just opened, I already don't like the look of.
Well, that's the evaporated milk, and that's quite runny, I would say.
No way Tim Burgess have that in his coffee.
Taking the condensed one off right now.
He didn't write how high after having a glass of that.
This one's like the kind of glue that you use in a primary school.
Oh, that looks horrendous, isn't it?
Oh, it's really thick. Right, which one do you want?
You choose me one. You just choose me one from over there.
Okay, cool, that's fine. Right, you can have...
Oh, dear. The stuff we do for you lot, huh? Listeners, right, so stuff we do for you lot.
Mixing some condensed milk.
Yeah, we didn't get a nomination in the ARIA Awards, right? Yeah, for the Radio Academy Award things, right? Even though we're doing stuff like this, they're missing a trick here.
Meanwhile, nice little glug of evaporated milk into mine.
Oh, the state of these two teas.
Here we go. Enjoy that.
The lovely the dribble of it down the side of the cup is the pièce de la résistance. Very patchy consistency on the top as well. Which one have I got?
You've got condensed milk in your tea. I've got evaporated. Bottoms up.
Bottoms up. Oh, my word. That is one of the worst things I've ever tasted in my entire life. Oh, man, we've got... That is awful, that. Oh, dear, right, we've got to play a song.
The noise of the past.
It's Bush and Ritchie's Sound of the Decades.
Absolute Radio 90.
I'm sure it goes down a treat with all the Estrella I had last night. So, let's do Sound of the Decades.
Yes.
This just keeps rumbling on. And that's not our fault. It's your fault, because you haven't guessed it so far. We've isolated a sound effect that's synonymous with the 90s. If you're a 90s person, what is this noise?
Not a coffee bean grinder, as we found out from yesterday. Not a jet washer. Certainly not the beginning of Champagne Supernova. Not Champagne Supernova starting, not jet washer, not a coffee bean grinder. It's Cameron in Sunny Worthing who has the privilege of guessing tonight. How are you, Cameron?
I'm very good. How are you?
Well, good, man. What has your day been like so far? What have you been doing?
It's been very good. I've been out on a wet, messy field, but had fun, so...
It's been a wet, messy field, I think, the line breaking up.
But having fun, is he a PE teacher?
No, I'm a civil engineer trainee, so I'm testing out engineer is a technical term.
Oh, OK. Is that like where you wear high-vis and... what are those people called that look through, like, what appears to be a tiny little telescope out in the streets?
Is that... Yeah, it's exactly that. So they're like surveyors. It's the instrument they use, exactly that.
Is it, and do you click the end of it and it changes a picture of a different wonder of the world, those things?
If only, right? No, it follows you around like a stalker. But it's good. It's professional.
If I worked as a surveyor, right, I would do that thing where... I don't think people do it anymore. You get a bit of boot polish, put it on the eye hole... And get to your mate's eye.
Don't take this personally, but I would not want to set foot in any place that you have surveyed. I know what your attention to detail is like.
That really hurts, but you're probably right.
Cameron, which playlist do you choose to listen to Home Time with?
Absolute 90s.
Oh, good.
Wow.
Speaking of the 90s, here's the sound we're all talking about. Okay.
You're a fan of the right decade. Right, we know what it's not, but Cameron, it's your turn to tell us what it is.
Okay, I think it's a Dustbuster.
Oh.
Dustbuster.
We had one of them back in the 90s, all of about 30 seconds of charge you got out of that.
Is it like a portable little mini Hoover thing?
Yeah, that's it. My dad had one for the car.
Yeah, you got it.
Let's have a listen. Hey, it's a good guess.
What a guess. Great guess. Is it the right guess?
You're a loser, and you have lost.
Sorry, Sunshine.
Never mind. Thank you for your time,
Dan. If a wrong guess can be a good guess, that was it.
That was a good guess, man. I mean, whoever it was who said it's the start of Champagne Supernova is having a long, hard look at themselves. Cheers, Cameron.
Sound of the Decades from the 90s, still from the 90s tomorrow, because that's when it'll return.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Compo Corner time right now. Life's hard enough, but sometimes you just don't get a break. And you want compensation for something that's happened, but there's no authority to go to give you that compensation. Well, there is tonight.
Oh, yeah.
There's this here show.
It's like a hypothetical check heading your way.
Here's a start, right? You know how I love Cadbury's cream eggs?
Uh-huh.
I spotted in the shop the other day a limited edition Cadbury's cream egg chocolate bar.
Wow.
So excited.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Well, I'll buy one of these, treat this, because I'm sure they'll go disappearing after Easter. Put it in the front of my giant rucksack.
Okay.
And went home, thinking, well, I'll have that when I get home. Sat down on the tube, rested my bag.
Sorry, you did pay for it, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know where the conversation was coming from.
I know. Put it in the front pocket of my massive rucksack, put it in between my legs on the tube, and then sat there for 20 minutes. Turns out tube trains are hot. And so the bag being pressed against the hot seats where there must be motors underneath,
yeah,
completely melted the limited edition Cadbury's cream egg bar. So it's just a mushy mould of cream egg goo and chocolate. It only cost me £2, but I'm not going to get that money back off anyone.
If I was your other half, Natalie, I'd be wondering what was going on at work with that kind of mess down the front of a bag. caught short.
Compo corner yourself?
Just what I was saying earlier on, burnt me mouth on a fondue. I've had a week of burnt mouth.
Who are you wanting your money off? The Swiss nation or something?
Yeah,
like that?
Actually, Switzerland. Weirdos eating hot cheese. Slice it like everyone else does, for crying out loud.
I told you about my Cadbury's cream egg chocolate bar that melted against the heat of the tube on my journey home the other night. Colin reckons he's got a fix.
Basically, if you're, you know, like if you forgot about the chocolate bar and it's melted, or it's like a hot day, or it's in your rucksack. Like I've been to the mountains a few times, got a chocolate bar in your rucksack and it melts. But it's still completely sealed, like Cadbury's caramel, for example, or the chocolate bars are available. All you've got to do is put it in the fridge.
OK, well, let's just go back a second there, Colin. Did you say that you've been up quite a few mountains and your chocolate's melted up there?
Just when you've got a couple of snacks in your rucksack and it's been a hot day or something, and your coat, or you forgot about it.
Yeah, I guess the heat of your back sweat would melt it in your rucksack, wouldn't it?
Well, if it's a scorching hot day and, you know, you've just got it, or it's in your coat or whatever, or it just melts.
OK, so what you're saying, Richie, should have, rather than deal with the mess that you had on the tube and it looked like something gone terribly wrong, you say get it home, stick it in the fridge.
Yeah, I know chopper bar's only like a quid or something, but I'm just being a bit tighter, you know, don't want to lose the chocolate bar. So you can just throw it in the fridge. You know, it'll basically just completely go, like, you know, solid. And then the next day, it's just like a rather, you know, obviously, as you can imagine, it doesn't look great, but...
doesn't look good.
He's really selling it.
He is.
As you can imagine, it doesn't look great.
But it's just chocolate, and then obviously it melts, and then it just tastes exactly the same. It's, you know, you just get a chocolate bar, it's a bit hard, but, you know, once you bit into it, it just tastes like normal chocolate once it's melted.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Don't know what your Wednesday night is going to be like. I'll tell you what mine's going to be like. Tomorrow night, I'm going to go and see Dune 2 at the cinema.
Yes, get in.
I'm going to watch Dune 1 again tonight because I just know that I'm so excited about going to see it tomorrow. But what I don't want to do is turn up, because I love the first one. I don't want to do is turn up tomorrow and be like, I can't remember what's going on.
It's quite a lot of confusing stuff in there.
Yeah.
I watched the first one again as like a refresher, like 24 hours beforehand. But it's so good, man. I keep thinking about it. Weirdly, I went out with my brother last night and he has watched it recently. Was just saying it's one of the best films he's ever seen in his life.
Oh, I'm so excited. But one of the great things about knowing that I'm watching it tonight ahead of tomorrow, it feels like being back at school and doing a little bit of homework and cramming for something that's going on the next day.
Well, I tell you, I'll give you one bit of homework, mm-hmm. right, for the when you actually go and watch the movie. When they're on the back of a worm, ask yourself the question, how do they get off?
This is the Daily Takeaway.
Just go back to what you were saying at the beginning of the episode of this particular Daily Takeaway and uh-huh. the chucking of maracas. One thing I noticed when I went to the C2C Festival at the O2 a couple of weeks back, Brothers Osborne was the particular artist, and they had loads of plectri down the microphone.
Oh, right, blue tacked on.
Yeah, just loads. Mm-hmm. I'm not a guitarist, but I was looking at it thinking, well, they go through a lot, don't they? But actually, they don't. They just, every now and then, they just pick one off and throw it out into the crowd.
Yeah, the plectrum are just there for crowd interaction?
Purely for crowd interaction, and they weren't multiple plucking or whatever you do with the plectrum.
I would say, I don't know who Brothers Osborne are. I've got no intention of finding out. But I would say they might need to put a bit more money into their act if what the thing they're chucking in is worth 50 pence from a guitar shop.
They
come on.
They were very good.
Chuck a Stetson in or something. It's a country festival.